Welcome to the Battle Plan Marketing Podcast for Contractors. Get actionable advice and tactics on how to grow your home service company. Plus interviews with industry experts dropping value bombs in marketing, sales, and operations. And now, let's power up your home service biz with your host, Mark Ambrose of Battle Plan Marketing.
All right. Hello, home service pros, and welcome to the Battle Plan Marketing Podcast, episode number 55. I thought you might like that little addition. I couldn't wait to get to this episode number to use it. All right, so today we're going to talk about how to maintain and optimize your Google Ads campaigns. In the last couple of weeks, we noticed some changes to the keywords our clients' ad campaigns are being displayed for, so I thought it would be a good time to talk about the daily Google Ads maintenance everyone should be doing out there to avoid wasting money on clicks that will never convert into leads. Just money down the drain. So first, let's talk about the two problems we've been seeing going on lately in our Google Ads campaigns, and then we'll get into a couple of regular maintenance tips and best practices that you should deploy to avoid wasting money on your account. So what we've been seeing lately across all of our clients' campaigns is that their ads started showing up for search terms that included all of their local competitors' names. Now, this is a hotly debated topic on whether or not you should bid on your competitors' names. So we'll share some pros and cons. So the pros are the cost per click is usually going to be very low. Not too many people are competing on it. So competition is low, cost per click is low. You'll also be branding your name to the people who are searching for your competitors' names. Another pro is that the searchers are obviously seeking the very services that you offer, right? The cons, however, are you might start a war with your competitors where they may start clicking on all of your ads. And even if you have click fraud protection software in place, you're still going to get charged for the clicks before your triggers put their IP address on a blocked list. And they may also get down and dirty and start sending bad reviews to your Google My Business listing, which has happened in the past. They're also likely to start bidding on your business name, you know, in return, retaliation, and siphoning off a little bit of your customers. And lastly, the click-through rate of the ads showing for your competitors' names are going to be very low because they're searching for that company, right? So that in turn can hurt your quality score for your ad, which in turn decreases its potential on getting clicks on the keywords that really matter to you. In addition, if your competitors are clicking on your ads and then they bounce off your landing page quickly, which is exactly what they'll do, then you're hurting your campaign there also, because that too will affect your quality score, which in turn increases your cost per click rates. And if the ad directs users to a service page that's not an orphaned landing page, then you're also going to be affecting the ranking ability of that page because of the high bounce rates. So are the low number of clicks that you might get worth the wars you may start and the damage it may do to your campaigns and your organic rankings? Only you can decide. Like I say, it's a hotly debated topic. Our policy and practice is not to do that. So the cure, if you're going to follow our practice, is to add your competitors' names to the negative keyword list for those campaigns, actually for all campaigns. Also, if you notice competitors are bidding on your business name, then you may wish to add your name to the keywords for your own campaigns. So your ad shows up when they search for your name. Of course, now you may be paying to advertise for your own name. You know, you'll have to feel that out for yourself. I would say dominate the local map pack, get your web service page ranking for that search term, and have your ad in there, and maybe not put an ad for your own name, unless there's several competitors doing it, in which case maybe a good solution would be to trademark your business name, which you probably should have done already anyway. And of course, we're not lawyers and we don't provide legal advice, but we did indeed seek that legal advice ourselves and have indeed trademarked our own business name. So if your business name is trademarked, then you can petition Google Ads through their trademark infringement complaint form. We'll put a link to that in the transcription of this podcast on our blog, or you can just Google that phrase, Google trademark infringement complaint form. You'll need to collect data, of course, and the details and screenshots of the offenders for that complaint and send it in to Google through that service there. Of course, this doesn't completely stop competitors from bidding on your name, but it does stop them from using your name in any of the ad copy that they're using. Okay, so that's problem number one that we're seeing. Ad your competitors' names are showing up for really all of our search campaigns. And so we're adding them to our negative keyword list. And the way you identify that, by the way, is you go into your Google Ads account every single day, which you should be doing, click on each campaign and then each ad group, and then click on the keywords menu, and then click on search terms. And it is there in the search terms. Well, you'll see all the search terms that your ad group is showing up for in the date range that you set. Now, if you haven't ever done this, then you should expand the date range out for several months, probably, and go through all of those search terms and add all the keywords with competitors' names to your negative keyword list by just checking the box next to each one and then using the menu above to, quote unquote, add them to negative keywords. Okay, the second thing we've noticed in the last couple of weeks across, again, all of our clients' accounts, so it's very common happening, are that their ads are showing up for search terms that include the name of a city that we've already listed in the excluded locations, or cities way out in other parts of the state or even other states. So we're seeing search terms that include not only the cities in these excluded locations, but also for cities that are far away in the same state and even cities that are in other states. Now, I'm not sure if this is from people who are in our legitimate service areas who maybe own rental properties in these cities or states, or if it's a glitch in Google Ads, or, you know, I'm not sure what has happened exactly. But we don't want our ads showing up for these things, right? So, once again, our solution is twofold. First, we add the name of that city as a broad match to our negative keyword list, not the exact phrase. Usually it's buried in a phrase, right? Like water heater and in some far-off city. So we don't exclude that whole phrase. We just get rid of the water heater part or whatever the other part of the keyword phrase was. We just put the city as a broad match, negative keyword in the keyword list for that campaign. And then we make a list of all those cities. So we pull out a little text file and we start copying them over there. And then once we have the complete list, we then add those cities to the negative keyword list for every single ad campaign, not just the one where we saw it pop up. We don't want to see it pop up in our other campaigns, right? And you will get some clicks on those. So they will cost you money. And, you know, they're looking for something in a totally different area outside of your service area. Total waste of money. Okay, that takes care of the two strange happenings that we've been seeing lately in our ad accounts. Now let's look at a few more things that you should be doing to optimize your Google Ads campaigns to maximize your return on your ad spend. So I recently saw the results of a 3-year study in Search Engine Journal that audited more than 2,000 Google Ads accounts and showed only 29% of all accounts are using conversion tracking. Now, I've covered that in previous podcasts, but it's just so important. So here it is again. So 71% of all Google Ads accounts are not tracking conversions. I got to tell you that, you know, it really floored me. I just don't understand that. How can you spend money on ad campaigns and then not want to know which ones are working or not? It just makes no sense. It's so easy to do. You need to know which ads to stop because they're not working and which ones to pour more money on and step on the gas for, right? So tip number 3 is to get call tracking from a company like CallRail, which is what we use for our client accounts. There are others out there. I don't care which one you use. Use a call tracking number. You can either apply a dedicated tracking phone number for each landing page, you know, for each ad group, or add a little code to your website and it replaces your listed phone number with one of a trackable phone number from a number pool. Either way works fine. And that system will tell you where the call came from, what their name and phone number is, what ad campaign they responded to, and even what keyword they used to find your ad. And the costs are extremely minimal. They also have a call and form tracking option, or at least CallRail does, I'm not sure the other ones, which will also track all the form conversions on your landing pages. You can also dedicate a unique number, and you should be, for each of your direct mail campaigns or your radio ads or other advertising you have going on. Once again, why spend money on ads if you're not going to track whether they're working or not? You should have also a separate landing page for each ad campaign or ad group. And that page should speak directly about the same specific topic that the ad did. Don't send ads to your homepage. That's criminal, right? Send them to a specific page talking about the specific service. Right? And that page can be an orphan landing page, meaning there's no menu, there's nowhere else for them to go. It stands alone and it's not linked to from your website anywhere. It's just, it's on your site, but it stands alone. It's called an orphan page. Or you can send the ad to a service page on your site that does allow them to travel around, as long as it, again, speaks specifically to the topic that the ad does. And you should test. You actually should do both and test each one to see which works best for you. Either way, those pages should not only have call tracking numbers on them, but also include a contact form that people can submit to request that you contact them. And that form should then take them to a unique thank you page so that you can set up that page as a conversion in Google Analytics or Google Tag Manager. So a unique thank you page for each either service page, or you should have that also, and each landing page if it's an orphan page. Okay, now you would have both call and form tracking, and you'll know how that ad and landing page are performing. That's the proper way to do it. And you should also use that thank you page to promote other things, your emails and newsletter, get them to join that. Maybe you have a lead magnet there to entice them to do that. Perhaps there's a one-time only special offer on that thank you page. Use that thank you page to take them one step further and engage them more. All right, what's a good conversion rate for your search ads and landing pages? You can Google that and look up some information. I'll give you some stats that we found. So WordStream ran an analysis of hundreds of Google ads that are, capital A-R-E, using conversion tracking, and the results were as follows. So the median conversion rates was about 3.16%. The bottom 15% of accounts had conversion rates of less than 1%. And the top quarter of all accounts had conversion rates of 7.82% or better. And the top 2% of all accounts had a conversion rate of 14% or better. And that's quite honestly where you should be and your accounts should be. So you should be getting 14% or better for all of your Google Ads campaigns. And you should not stop testing ad copy, ad descriptions, landing page headlines, colors, buttons, everything until you get to a conversion rate of 14% or better. And put yourself in that top 2%. It's obviously achievable. Our accounts all do that. So don't stop. Well, you should never stop testing, actually, but certainly don't start laying off your testing until you're up and above 14% or so. Okay, our last tip, number 4, is to make sure that your landing page URLs for each ad are actually live URLs and not producing 404 error codes, because maybe you move the page and you forgot that that ad is pointing to that old page, and maybe you didn't put a 301 redirect on it. So this too happens quite often, according to studies out there, and is a 100% waste of your ad money. So go into your ads, make sure that every single landing page URL is indeed a live page and the appropriate page for that ad. That one's pretty easy to do and just takes a short time with each ad group. All right. In a future episode, we're going to talk more in depth about properly using keywords, filtering keywords to identify non-performers that have 0% conversions, and to identify search terms for new opportunities, as well as how to use automated rules to stay on top of these kind of performances and reduce your costs. And in that one, we might do a video complete screen share, or at least include a ton of screenshots on our blog post transcription of it for that one. So it can get a little complicated, and seeing how to do these things can help a whole bunch. Hopefully, with the content we share today, you can see why it's so incredibly important to review every one of your ad campaigns each and every day. If you value your dollars, it is your money, of course, but you can spend it as you see fit. But why waste it when you don't have to? Knowing how to identify and cut out the waste and when to step on the gas for the winners can make all the difference in the world for your business success. All right, I hope that helps some of you. Thanks for sharing your time and attention with us today. If you like what you heard, please rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast or YouTube channel. Hit the notification bell if you're on YouTube so you get notified of future episodes. Feel free to share this episode on your social channels. Good luck out there and create a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Battle Plan Marketing Podcast. To power up your home service business, for show notes, visit battleplanmarketing.com/podcast. If you enjoyed our show, please share it on social. Until next time.